Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, we've been studying metaphors for salvation, propitiation. And this is a study in the series, Forgiveness of Sins. Forgiveness, remission of sins. Also known as salvation. Hallelujah. Remission of sins is salvation. Salvation is remission of sins. Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Remission of sins is salvation. Salvation is remission of sins. How does God save a man? By forgiving him. Hallelujah. How does God save a man? By forgiving, by offering him the remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. And then right now we're studying metaphors for salvation, propitiation. This is the last one in this particular study. Propitiation. We've seen so far that while the idea of propitiation means to appease, and this could of course mean that somebody's anger or wrath is being appeased. Hallelujah. While this is true, while this is an aspect of this reality, we must realize that the major reason why the Father is propitiated and delighted and satisfied in the work of Jesus is because of the outcome of the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus transformed us into men whom God is well pleased with. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of Jesus transformed us into men that God delights himself in. Glory to Jesus. God is pleased with us, and that's why we are called beloved in the scriptures. We are God's beloved, favorite. We are God's esteemed set of people. We are God's people who are worthy of his love. So God is well pleased with us because of who he has made us in his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. From the one who explained the idea of mercy seat. So that in the Old Testament, the mercy seat was a place where they would sprinkle the blood of animals and blood of bulls and goats and all in making atonement for the people. In the New Testament, however, Jesus is our mercy seat. Hallelujah. Jesus is the mercy seat, is the foundation, is the mercy ground, is the basis for forgiveness. Hallelujah. And Jesus did not sprinkle his blood on any place. He himself ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. The word sat also speaks of a place, a position of authority. It doesn't mean if you look into heaven today, you see Jesus sitting down on a white throne. Sitting down or having sat down is also a way of saying Jesus has taken a place of authority at the right hand of the Father. Glory to Jesus. Just as the Bible says, we are seated with him in the heavenly places. It doesn't mean we are on seat. Hallelujah. It's not referring to being on seat physically or spiritually. It speaks of a position. We are seated with him. A place of accomplishment and dominion and authority. Glory be to Jesus. So we are seated with him. That's exactly how the Bible says Jesus sat down having purged our sins. Glory be to God. So the mercy seat in the New Testament is not a place where you go sprinkle blood. And then we particularly explained Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4:16. When the Bible says, therefore, let us come to the throne of grace to obtain help, to obtain mercy and grace to help in times of need. We saw that this is not referring to how the believer is meant to come every time, every now and then to the throne of grace. When there's a problem, when there's trouble, you start running to the throne of grace. That's not what he's saying. Hallelujah. The throne of grace is the throne of salvation. It's the place where men are saved. Because in context, he was referring to the ministry of Christ as the high priest of the new covenant. And we saw emphatically in one of the teachings how that the work of the high priest is to provide atonement in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus in his work of high priest provided remission of sins, reconciliation to the Father, and his blood became the propitiation for the sins of men. Hallelujah. So approaching the throne of grace is having faith in the gospel. This is very clear. Approaching the throne of grace is having faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. And once a man believes in the gospel, he receives the help of God. He receives salvation that will last him through his lifetime and beyond. Bible refers to it as an everlasting consolation. Glory be to God. An everlasting consolation. Hallelujah. So, we have seen so much in this study. Propitiation in the New Testament is not just by the physical red substance called the blood of Christ. The propitiation is about the outcome of his resurrection, what happened to us when we believed. Hallelujah. The provision that the sacrifice of Jesus made available to men is the reason why the Father is in him propitiated. Glory be to God. God looks at him, looks at what he has done, and he's satisfied. Because in Christ Jesus, God extends to men the very life that makes him God. So when God looks at us, he can find no fault. Because what he sees in us is his very life. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27 again. Ephesians 5:25. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now, when he says washing of water by the word, he's not referring to something God is doing now. This is not spiritual growth. This is about salvation. Hallelujah. He gave himself for her that he might cleanse her. So, the cleansing is based on how he has given himself for her. This is not spiritual growth or spiritual maturity or the renewing of our minds. He's talking about what Jesus did by his death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. This is done already. Not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Have you seen? So, in Christ Jesus, we've been presented as a glorious church, without blame, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. God looks at us and finds no fault in us because of what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We are without blame in the sight of God. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That is, we are faultless in the sight of God. And you know, this sounds so incredible, this sounds so unbelievable for you when you appraise yourself by your human senses. When you judge yourself from a natural standpoint or a natural viewpoint, you find it difficult to reconcile what the scriptures are saying, what God is saying concerning you, and what you can see concerning yourself, or what you can see about yourself. Hallelujah. You find it difficult to reconcile what the scriptures are saying about you, what the scriptures, the testimony that God is bearing concerning you in his son, and what people can see. Hallelujah. And that's the reason why a believer must not judge himself by what he can esteem or what he can appraise by his human senses. You can't afford to be judging yourself by what you can think about yourself outside the word of God, what you can see yourself to be like, or what you can see yourself doing. You can't be appraising yourself by your deeds, your actions, your flaws. You should only judge and esteem yourself by what the word says you are. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at this carefully. This is one of the major places many believers, one of the major areas many believers are missing it in their walk with the Father. Hallelujah. You see, before walking according to God's will, walking according to God's desire, God's standard, and all, God wants you to agree with what is. God wants you to agree with the testimony that is bearing concerning you. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing that before Abraham had any child at all, God called him the father of many nations. That didn't make sense. Hallelujah. That didn't make any sense at all. But God called him father of many nations, and Abraham took it upon himself to begin to bear that name. Hallelujah. He trusted God. No wonder the Bible says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's exactly you and I have come to believe in what Jesus has done without seeing him, without being, you know, an eyewitness of what Jesus went through. I have believed that testimony, and God counts me as righteous on account of that faith. Hallelujah. Much more than God just, you know, crediting righteousness to my account, God has justified me of a truth. God has made me righteous. God has made me his son in the likeness of Christ. Hallelujah. A change happened. Something occurred. There's a transformation that happened to me because I have faith in him. And the way God sees me now in Christ Jesus is the way I must see myself. Hallelujah. And the challenge of faith will always be to esteem yourself as God esteems you. Hallelujah. Ignoring every other testimony, ignoring everything you can see in the natural, ignoring everything you can say of yourself, ignoring everything you can feel and touch. Hallelujah. Every other thing you can feel and touch in the natural, you must ignore them and go for the word of God. Hallelujah. Go for the word. You are who the word says you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. Glory to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 14. Look at this now. Bible says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who lived, who died for them and rose again, we should live for him who died for us and rose again. Look at verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't judge people from a human standpoint, from a human viewpoint anymore. We don't judge people from a natural perspective. Hallelujah. We don't judge people by what they do, by who they act like in the flesh, by, you know, how they behave. We judge men based on what the word of God says concerning them. Verse 17 is the reason why we don't judge people by what they act like or what they do. Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. This is God's testimony. Hallelujah. This is God's testimony. So it is the same way Bible says we are without blame in the sight of God. You don't say, am I sure I'm really without blame like this? Hey, and then you begin to list out many things, many of your faults, many of your flaws. And you say, see, as numerous as they are, you can't tell me I am faultless, without blame, I am without blemish in the sight of God. Well, this is what God is saying. You know, the reality in this place is that God is not imputing sins. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Bible says in Romans chapter 4 also, blessed is the man to whom God shall not impute sin. So because God is not imputing, he's finding no fault. Hallelujah. You know, Bible says love will cover a multitude of sin. And we find love having free course in Christ Jesus. We find the love of God having free expression in Christ Jesus. We find the love of God really covering a multitude of sins in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Much more important than the fact that God is not just, you know, counting our sins against us. More important than this is the fact that spiritually, positionally, we are free of guile and every form of deceit. We are free of every form of sin and unrighteousness. Your spirit is blameless in the sight of God. The only reason why a believer can still be, you know, walking in some faults and some wrongs today is because he's yielding himself to the flesh. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible refers to all those things as the work of the flesh. The spirit within you, the fruit of that spirit is love and all forms of goodness. Hallelujah. So positionally, by virtue of the life you have received, the inner man is blameless in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So God is not counting against the inner man the deeds of the outward man. Hallelujah. God is not imputing to the inner man, to the inward man, the deeds and the transgressions of the outward man. The outward man is yet to be redeemed. Hallelujah. The outward man is yet to be redeemed. The outward man is still of this fallen earth. Hallelujah. He's still of this fallen earth. He is weak and lowly. Glory be to Jesus. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God. And that's the problem. The treasure, the new man, the new life we have received in Christ Jesus is yet in an earthen vessel. Hallelujah. Bodies that can be weak and tired in a world that is full of decay and all kinds of evil and lust. Hallelujah. The believer's major problem is not even his body or physical body. The believer's major problem is the world around him, the world he lives in. That's why the Bible will say to not conform to this world. The caution is against the world. Hallelujah. Don't be conformed to this world, because your body is even the house of God, is the temple of God. Though your body is frail and mortal and your body can be used, your body can be subjected to the influences of the world and to carnal things. Your body can carry out sinful activities. Though your body is frail, lowly and all that, your body is not your major challenge, because left to your body alone, your body can be subdued. Your body can be put under. Hallelujah. Your body is still called the temple and the house of God. That's why when a believer finds himself in the gathering of the saints regularly, and he rose with people who are always talking about the right things, thinking about the right things, men who are of the same mind, he would be struggling, you know, to walk in lust. Hallelujah. He will be struggling to walk in worldliness. You would literally have to struggle to want to do the things of the world, because something else will have taken over your subconscious. Something else will have overwhelmed your mind to a point where you are so renewed in your thoughts, you'll be thinking the right things. Why? Because you are feeding on the right things. Your communication, your community, your communication, your association is healthy, and because of that, you're able to live out the life that you truly carry on the inside. So, but then the moment you start mingling with the world, that's where the problem is. Hallelujah. Look at this quickly. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 2. The world is the major problem of the Christian. 1 John chapter 2. That's why the believer that would live for Jesus, that would live as he ought to live, express the life he carries on the inside, must be discerning in his relationship with the world. Hallelujah. He must discern the world. He must walk circumspectly. He must walk in all wisdom towards the world, towards the people who are on the outside. He must walk in wisdom. Hallelujah. You can't afford to lay down your guard, and you are just there taking in everything. There are people who open their hearts to all kinds of influences. Their guard is let down. They think they are safe. It does not make sense. The believer must be cautioned. Hallelujah. He must walk in such caution and discernment towards the world if he is to please the Father. Glory to God. If he is to please the Father in his deeds. Glory be to Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 John 2. I'll read from verse 15. The Bible says, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the Father, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the world, rather, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So where's the lust of the flesh? Is it in the believer? No. The lust of the flesh is in the world. The lust of the eyes in the world. So the believer that will be walking in the lust of the flesh will be the believer that yields himself to the influence of the world. Hallelujah. The lust of the flesh is not in the believer. What the believer carries is the life of God. What the believer carries is the Spirit of God. So the lust of the flesh is in the world. Hallelujah. Though you have a natural body, you have been delivered from the lust that is in the world. Glory be to Jesus. Bible tells us this. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll read from verse 3. Bible says, "According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Have you seen? We've been delivered from the corruption that is in the world through lust. We've been delivered. So the lust of the flesh is in the world. It is not your nature. Hallelujah. You don't say my own weakness, my own lust is this. You don't have lust. You've been delivered from the lust and the corruption that is in the world. Glory be to Jesus. So you can live your life free of the influence of the world because you have been delivered from the corruption and the lust that is in the world. Hallelujah. So that means there's no common ground between you and an unbeliever. The change is real, folks. Hallelujah. The change is real. We are not trying to act as men who have been transformed. We are truly transformed. There's no common ground between the believer and the unbeliever. Hallelujah. One is called darkness. The other is called light. Hallelujah. One is called Belial. The other is called Christ. One is called unrighteousness. The other is called righteousness. There's no common ground. Glory be to God. So lust is in the world. Hallelujah. So the truth of the matter is you and I have been delivered from the world. We've been delivered from the influence of the world. We've been delivered from the lust of the world. And then we have been transformed into new creatures. Glory be to God. We've been transformed into new creatures. And it's in this that the Father is propitiated. Glory be to God. So when we say that we are without blemish, we are blameless, we are without fault in the sight of God, we are faultless in the sight of God, we are talking about that which God has done to us internally. We're talking about the impact of the work of Christ internally. Hallelujah. A change has occurred beyond what we can see on the outside. A change has occurred beyond that which is visible to the eyes of men. A change has occurred. Hallelujah. A change has occurred. And it is unfair to be judging that which God has done by what men are doing. Hallelujah. It is unfair to be judging that which God has done and settled in Christ Jesus by the actions of men. Hallelujah. It is unfair. Glory be to Jesus. Because that which we are doing, our actions, our ways, our, you know, conversations in this world can be influenced by different things. Hallelujah. In fact, a believer can be so influenced by the world that he begins to talk and sound like the devil. Hallelujah. Begins to act like Satan himself. And he's a believer. Glory be to Jesus. Because when it comes to influences, it's about the mind. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, 2, I'll quote again, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have you seen? It's not saying be transformed by having faith again in Christ Jesus or by being born again. You know, that's the recommendation you find in many places. When you find a believer acting in a way he's not meant to be acting or acting contrary to the life he has received, you start saying, man, you need to be born again. You need to receive Christ afresh. You need to rededicate your life. You need to resurrender and all those kind of things. But then, Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because at this point in time, the only place the man needs to work on is in his mind. Hallelujah. The only place he needs to work on is his mind. His mind, his thought pattern. His mindset has been influenced by the world. So he must begin to renew his mind again by the word of God. Hallelujah. And the moment the word of God gains ascendancy and dominance in his thoughts, he will begin to live out the life he has received in Christ Jesus. So the change is definite. It is real. Jesus changed our lives. He transformed us for real. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So we've seen also that the blood of Jesus is the life of God offered to us. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus goes beyond his death. It is about his resurrection too. It is about his life. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus offered in the most holy place. This is what he took to the Father. His life. He presented himself to the Father as one alive from the dead. And then we are products of this resurrection. Glory be to God. So the propitiation is the life of God in us today and Jesus' presence before the Father for us. Hallelujah. Before the Father for us. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Let me explain some things as I close this particular study, propitiation. And then, you know, some of the things we're explaining in this study, I think we're going to really sit down to explain well in another teaching entirely. Glory be to God. For instance, let me say this quickly about the wrath of God. So when we say the propitiation of Christ is an appeasing of God's wrath, what exactly is that wrath? Hallelujah. What exactly is the wrath of God? Let me give you a clue. This is a full study on its own. But let me quickly give you a clue on what it means to say the wrath of God was appeased. Look at Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, 41. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Bible describes in this particular portion of scripture who hell was prepared for. Hallelujah. So hell is prepared for a particular set of people. Matthew 25 verse 41. Bible says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Have you seen? Prepared for who? The devil and his angels. So hell was not prepared for men. Hallelujah. It is for the devil and his angels. So that's why redemption is a deliverance from the power of darkness, such that man came under the wrath of God because he was held in that kingdom. Hallelujah. He was held in bondage in that kingdom. Glory be to Jesus. That's the reason why man came under the wrath of God. Originally, the wrath of God is against Satan and his angels. Glory be to God. They are the rulers of darkness. Those guys are unrepentant. They'll be wiped out. They'll be destroyed. So man came under the wrath of God because he was brought into that kingdom and held in slavery and captivity. So to be delivered from the wrath of God, man just needs to be delivered from that kingdom. And that's all. Hallelujah. So redemption, the work of Christ, propitiates the Father, appeases the wrath of God for man, because man was delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Man was delivered from the power of darkness upon which the wrath of God is coming. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So that's just a very simple clip to this issue of the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Such that man was delivered from the wrath of God when he was delivered from the kingdom of darkness. It's just as simple as that. Glory be to God. Like I said, I promised, I've taught this before in my local church, but we're going to see it again in one of the sessions in these teachings. Hallelujah. The wrath of God. It's a full study on its own. Let's see Luke 22, verse 20 also. Look at the implication of what Jesus said concerning his blood and the new covenant. Luke 22, verse 20. Hallelujah. Bible says, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is in my blood. the cup of the new covenant, which is in my blood. And we know that the new covenant is enacted by the Spirit of Christ after the resurrection of Jesus. The New Testament came into force and operation when Jesus rose again from the dead and gave his Spirit. So when he says the new covenant, which is in my blood, we know that the blood there cannot be referring to the red substance. Hallelujah. Cannot just be referring to his death, because the new covenant was enacted upon his resurrection. Hallelujah. We've read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 17, how that without the resurrection, we are still in our sins. Without the resurrection, there's no offer of life. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In the resurrection, Jesus became a life-giving spirit. It's in his resurrection that he offers and extends life to humanity. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the blood of Jesus that contains the new covenant is his life. Hallelujah. The life, the very life of the Son of God. Look at John chapter 6, and I'll close on this one. John chapter 6. So the use of blood in the New Testament should never be given a one-way or a stereotyped definition. Glory to God. It is not always about death. It also speaks of life. John chapter 6. Look at this quickly. John's Gospel chapter 6. Glory to God. Bible says, at John chapter 6 from verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Have you seen to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and to drink his blood? What does that mean? Jesus is not about to start a vampire ministry where people start drinking physical blood. Hallelujah. It's just a metaphor. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood speaks of having faith in him for the gift of eternal life. So, he says the man that drinks his blood has life. So, we know that blood cannot be physical blood. The life of God came to us by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Whoever eats my flesh, verse 54, and drinks my blood has eternal life. So, how did we have eternal life? By the offering of the Spirit of God, by the offer of God's Spirit to us. So the way to eat the flesh and to drink the blood of Christ to have eternal life is to have faith in him and to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans chapter 8 verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwells within you, and if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the Spirit of God, and it's by this Spirit of God we have the life of God. Glory to Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 and 16. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Hallelujah. We are children of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Bible says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. So how did we receive the life of God? By the giving of his Spirit. Hallelujah. By the giving of his Spirit. As a matter of fact, the life of God is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is the life of God. God is Spirit. Glory be to God. So the man that receives the Spirit of God has eternal life. Hallelujah. So when he says to drink his blood and to eat his flesh, he's talking about believing in the gospel and receiving the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Receiving the gift of the indwelling Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 to 13. Bible says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body be many and one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Have you seen? We have been made to drink into one Spirit. How do we drink the blood of Christ? By drinking into one Spirit, which is a metaphorical way of saying by partaking of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. To drink into one Spirit means to be a partaker of the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. To be a partaker of the Spirit of God. So the blood of Jesus, which is the propitiation for our sins, is his life within us today. We are products of his resurrection. We are well pleasing in the sight of the Father. God finds no fault in us. We are faultless. We are blameless. We are without blemish, we are without spot, we are without wrinkle in the sight of the Father. We are always well pleasing to God. We are to God a savour, a sweet savour, a sweet smelling savour. Hallelujah. We are well pleasing in the sight of God. God is never displeased with us. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, Bible says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Nobody can bring a charge against us before the Father, because the Father has perfected us in His Son. We are purified, we are washed, we are justified, we are sanctified, we are well pleasing in the sight of God. Glory be to God. In the finished work of Jesus, the Father is eternally propitiated, is eternally satisfied. Glory be to God. You know, we can't improve on what Jesus has done. We cannot improve on what Jesus has done. We won't be well pleasing to God. We won't be much more well pleasing to God by the things we do tomorrow. We won't be much more pleasing to God by anything we do tomorrow. We're already well pleasing to the Father in His Son Jesus Christ, and that's the ultimate. We cannot improve on this. We can't improve on what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done is the perfect job. Hallelujah. What He has done is the best, is the perfect one, is the ultimate. That is all that we would ever need to stand blameless, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish in the sight of God forever and ever. In the sacrifice of Jesus, God is already well propitiated. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in on Monday. Invite your colleagues, your friends, your family members, relatives, classmates, anyone at all, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Put on your status on Facebook, on Twitter, and just spread the word, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day, being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of power, full of prayers, full of spiritual songs, hallelujah, full of faith, and be a blessing to somebody. Share the gospel with somebody. Bring some others into the knowledge of what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And see you in the next episode.